Good morning. Morning. Happy Memorial Day weekend. It's good to see everyone here today. You will notice that I am not Jeff, and make no apologies for that. However, I do ask that you pray for Jeff this weekend. He is in Hendersonville at Canoga Conference Center, and they're up there for children's camp at Camp Bob Campbell there in Canoga Conference Center with our children and some of our youth counselors there and some adults. So pray for them. We've been getting updates from them. They're having a great time. It's been great weather. The lake is cold, just for your information. The lake is cold, but they're having a great time up there. So continue to pray for them, that it'll be a meaningful time for them and the young people, the children that are all there, as well as life-changing. You know, sometimes you get in a retreat environment, And it kind of declutters your world a little bit, and you're able to hear things and see things and observe things that maybe you wouldn't be able to do in kind of the routine of life. And I know that they've had a great experience so far, and we just pray they'll continue to be safe and it'll be truly meaningful for them. There's not a whole lot of announcements we need to make. I think Mary has one about the book club, so why don't you come make that one.
And for those who haven't heard already, this coming month's book, the month of June, is The Year of Living Biblically by A.J. Jacobs. And I think you'll enjoy it. It's a look at faith from an outsider's perspective, but it's very respectful, a little tongue-in-cheek, but not disrespectfully so. It's an interesting read. If you need a book, let me know, and I'll get one for you.
I do want to make one announcement. Next Sunday morning, June 3rd, during this service, in the 11 o'clock service, we will vote on a candidate for Minister of Senior Adults and Congregational Care. And we'll also have an affirmation of our summer family interns. I realize we are aware of the fact that we did not send out biographical information about the candidate. You really need to come next Sunday morning to hear that. There's a very good reason for that, and we'll explain that next Sunday morning. So come be with us. I think it'll be an exciting time for us as we look at that candidate, and then we vote next Sunday morning after meeting the candidate and hearing from them about the excitement in which they're looking forward to this position. Roger, I assume since you made your way up here that you have an announcement.
I do.
Okay, carry on, brother. Is it made out to you?
Made out to
college. Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. And anybody else that wants to do that, they do that. That goes to our summer mission project, and we'd like you to be a part of that. I have some good news for you. We have $8,033 in our fund. That's up from $2,000 last Sunday. We've got a ways to go. Work towards that goal of $28,000. We had some activity down in Griffin or Winterville this week. For those of you who don't know, it's a little bit complicated for Mrs. Waller. She purchased the house several years ago, 15 years ago, and has been paying on, and still owes $35,000. So,
bye.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Roger. There are several events that are listed. I invite you to take, I'm not going to read those to you, but I invite you to be sure and look at the upcoming events as well as the calendar opportunities for the week in your bulletin and make note of all those special notes there. I also want to remind you, if you would please, to sign on the pew pad. For those of you that are here on a weekly basis, you know what that involves. Just sign your name, pass it down. When you get to the end, pass it back to the person to start with and rip out that page and help our ushers out. They'll come by and collect those. And if you're a guest with us, that we'll ask for your information on there. And if you would provide us whatever you feel comfortable providing us, we're not going to stalk you, but we do want to welcome you. So, and our ushers are here, and they're going to return back down the aisles. And they've got some information they would like to give to you. You'll find in there several things, a copy of our current newsletter, which will tell you about the ministries here at College Park, as well as a letter from myself welcoming you. And I know that if you'll just kind of wave at them, they'll give you one of those packets. And that will also cue our people around you into the fact that you're a guest. And people, notice where our guests are and be sure to make them feel welcome today. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we had a nice observance of Memorial Day in our 9 o'clock service this morning, but we also want to do the same here. We want to recognize those who have been a part of a service to our country, and we know that Memorial Day is more than just a sale at the mall. It seems like everything has turned into a sale, but it's something much deeper than that. It was made a national holiday. But we want to recognize, we're fully aware of the fact that traditionally Memorial Day is just about recognizing those who have given their life in service to their country. But we feel like you can't say thank you often enough. And so this morning, I would like to ask that if you have served in any branch of our armed services or auxiliary, any of those branches of service or auxiliary, if you would please stand. We thank you for your service and your sacrifice, as well as families of those who have had members who have served in our armed services. And we also want to remember those who were prisoners of war. Many of those did not return. Some did. And even within our own congregation, we know that we have several that served as prisoners of war and returned. But we also know that there are many listed missing in action still. And for those families, we know that they have not had a sense of resolution in that regard. So we want to pray especially for those families this morning. Let's have a word of prayer together as we remember the sacrifice of so many. Dear Father, in this time, we pray for families. We pray for individuals. Father, we pray for countries. It seems like conflict always comes about over the silliest things. Sometimes they're very serious, others trivial. But Father, we know that in each case that our men and women in our armed services are ready as they're called to defend the freedoms that we enjoy. Father, we confess that we take these for granted because we live in a country that has so much freedom and where we enjoy so many of these freedoms. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of those who gave their life in defense of our freedoms as well as the principles on which this country were founded. God, we pray that we would remember to be thankful, that we would remember to be thankful for those who are currently serving as well as those who have served in the past. God, we thank you for the chance to be together and to remember and to recognize. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
understand it. As we read Psalm 23, Psalm 23 traditionally has been known as
the soldier's prayer. No doubt many a soldier has recited it in times of conflict, in time of stress, and appropriately so. It's a psalm that gives comfort and peace. Hear these words: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. You may be seated.
Our Lord and our God, we welcome you in this place this morning. Lord, we are grateful for your presence here. And Lord, in coming moments, let the words that we speak, the prayers that are prayed, the songs that are sung, the scriptures that are read, Lord, speak through them. Lord, attune our hearts to listen. And Lord, let all that we do in coming moments bring honor and glory to you. And when we leave this place this morning, help us to leave knowing that you are with us. Help us to walk our journey this week in all the power of your Holy Spirit. Be with us now. Lord, help us to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
I invite you to take your Bible, and if you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. There should be one close to you there in the pew. Turn with me to John chapter 14. I'm going to read a few verses from John 14, and this is one of those passages of Scripture that a lot of times you have people that ask you a question, where is this verse found, or where is that other verse found? John chapter 14 is one of those books and chapters in the Bible that there are a lot of those kind of questions about. Where is this verse? Where is that verse? Beginning at the very beginning when Jesus in verse 1 says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And then in verse 6 where Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A lot of those quotable verses of Scripture in chapter 14. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 15. Where Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I have commanded. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. And then in verse 25, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, because you live in us through your Spirit, we have no need to fear. So forgive us when we are afraid about the uncertain. Father, remind us of the certain, which will drive away our fears. Father, we know that the certain is that you love us, that you care for us, that you have a plan for us, that you've redeemed us, and that you walk with us here on this earth until such time that you take us into your full presence. Father, what more could we ask for? So forgive us when we try to run our own lives, when we get anxious about the things that we cannot nor should we try to control. God, allow us to trust you completely. Allow us to trust you completely with the details of our lives, those things that may be on our hearts and minds right now, the schedule for this week, the anxiety that comes with that, the diagnoses that maybe we've received this week or a family member, our health, our finances, our family situations, all of those things, God, that we get so stressed about, we pray that we would give those to you. And Father, as you give the power of your Holy Spirit to our lives, we pray that we would claim that and that we would live as those who have victory through your power. And in doing so, not only will our own lives take on better perspective, but those who observe us will see the peace that we have that comes from you and will give us an opportunity to speak a word of testimony, a word of encouragement in your name and for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask all of these things.
lives, fighting for our freedom. We thank you also, Father, that you gave your Son for our freedom. We pray for peace in the world, but we thank you for peace in our hearts. We thank you for all the many blessings you've bestowed on us so graciously. Father, we ask now that we give generously and gratefully, and that you bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This week, I had an opportunity to, I say opportunity, it sounds better that way. I had an opportunity to help my daughter and Cameron and some of their friends with their Spanish project. It was a video project, and my job was to help with the video editing. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to edit film where they were speaking a language you didn't understand. But that was my job. It was a Spanish project, and they were speaking Spanish, and I was trying to edit it, and I said, Ashton, this is not working. Come here, sit right here, and tell me what stays and what goes, because I don't know what they're saying. I don't have any idea what they're saying. And that attempt of editing, and we got it done. But that reminded me, of course, I knew what I was preaching on this Sunday, and I thought, wow, okay, if God ever wanted to lay out an example for me, this is it. Because I found out, I was reminded of how difficult it can be to communicate with people who are from different places or who speak different languages. But then I was also reminded, it can also be difficult to communicate with people who live across the street from you, or that you're going to have lunch with today, sitting right across the table. And that depends on what kind of barriers are there. Because it's difficult to communicate through barriers. You know, in our lesson this morning, Luke, the writer of the Acts of the Apostle, indicates that communication with all people is possible when the Holy Spirit takes control. Language and geography are not barriers to the working of God's will. That's what comes about. That's what we can learn from Acts chapter 2. And I want to read it to you. It's a familiar passage. I invite you to take your Bible if you'd like to and read with me. It's Acts chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 21. And again, we read it about every year on this day, Pentecost Sunday. But let's read it again and hear what God's going to say through it today. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, they being the disciples. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them, being the disciples, speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they ask, 'Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, all hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.' Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11. I've got that phrase right there underlined in my Bible, "with the 11." Peter stood up, but he stood up with the support of the 11. I think that's critical for us in ministry to understand that concept. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." That's a great line. It's one of the funniest lines in Scripture. "It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. 'In the last days,' God said, 'I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" In addition to the fact that this weekend is called Memorial Day, and that's a kind of an American holiday, in addition to that, in the larger scope of the Christian church, as I've already made reference to, this is Pentecost Sunday. And on Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate an existing Jewish harvest festival. You remember on Wednesday nights when we were talking about all the feasts and festivals of the Jewish tradition, you remember that? And we said at the time, Pentecost was around a long time before the first century. It was an existing Jewish festival, harvest festival, that was already in place. And so the Jews, much like when Passover happened and they were there together for the Feast of the Passover, the Jews were there for Pentecost. They had gathered together in Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost, and God chose to use that time where there were so many there to pour out his Spirit. So when we refer to Pentecost, sometimes we think it started when God sent the Holy Spirit. No, it was already a festival, but it changed. It changed in its context. For us as Christians, that was a big day. You know, in John 14, the passage I read, you know, just a little bit earlier, Jesus promised them this day was coming. He told them, I will send to you. The Father is sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one that will walk beside you, the one that will comfort you, the one that will give you power. He promised it was coming. But really the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is all throughout the Bible, discussed all through the Bible. But in this lesson today in Acts, we have the story of the Holy Spirit's first activity exclusively there to the apostles. You know, to the apostles, and then as it multiplied out. And we have an indication now of the Spirit's capacity to reach beyond obstacles, to break through barriers, to bring people to faith. To bring them to faith, that's why the Spirit was sent. Faith comes in this story as it has done ever since through hearing. Hearing the gospel. Peter stands with the 11. Peter stands with the 11 and preaches the good news of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 people come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and they're added to the membership of the first Christian church, and we'll call it First Baptist of Jerusalem. So they went from 12 to 3,012 just like that. Now, you don't see that in church growth strategies. You don't see, how do we do this? But here's how we do it. It's pretty clear. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not anything we can devise. It is by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those people that were there, whatever their differences, and we know from Scripture there are at least two differences. It mentions language and place of origin. But there were other differences, I'm sure. You've got all these people gathered together from all over the world, and the Holy Spirit draws this diverse group of people together and made them one in their faith. That is unbelievable. That's remarkable. Draws them all together. And the gospel story is revealed then to be a universal truth, a universal tale of redemption, one that communicates beyond human barriers. Now let's think about human barriers. What do we construct? What divides the earth's population? What divides people? One of the first things that may come to mind is, well, you know, we have national boundaries. And that's true. We do. We have national boundaries. But geographical, national, cultural boundaries are not the greatest thing to overcome in order to communicate with other people. It's doable. It's quite doable. It's a great challenge, and I believe it's a distinct joy to be able to communicate with people in their native language. Several years ago, I went to Haiti with a group of adults and youth, and we had just an amazing experience there. And in preparation for that time, you know, I did my homework. Well, they speak French. Well, they kind of speak Creole, which is kind of a little bit of a broken French. But I thought, well, at least they'll understand French. So I went back, and I'm trying to remember those 3 years of high school French and 3 semesters of college French. And I left there going, I'm ready. I'm ready for this. And I got down there, and I thought, I'm not ready. I really wasn't ready for this. It comes a lot quicker than the French teacher in college. I mean, it was just right around. But by the end of the week, as is often happens, you're in that environment. By the end of the week, I was able to converse somewhat with some of the people there in French. And I tell you, they really appreciated the effort that were made to communicate in their language. They really did. And I thought, you know, we do the same thing. We appreciate that when people make an effort to speak our language, and I'm not necessarily speaking linguistically here. I'm thinking our emotional language, our love language, our spiritual language. We appreciate it when people try to make an effort at least to speak our language. And when we do that, it brings a sense of unity. When we come together by language, sharing ideas, it gives something that truly comes from God of community, communion. And I think maybe that's what amazed the people, the observers at Pentecost. Scripture says the whole world was there. Representatives from all over the world were there. The whole known world at the time were represented there in the crowd. And people gathered there from every corner of the earth, and they were attending, and they heard these simple, untutored, untraveled Galileans speaking in all the language of the earth. But there were greater barriers than just geography. There are greater barriers than just geography and language. Ideology has been one of the most significant between countries and even within countries. We all know how divisive discussions on politics and religion can be. We know that. And on Memorial Day, we're reminded of the cost of those divisions and conflicts. And it wouldn't really be difficult to list a bunch of other barriers. I mean, if you think about it, those things that keep us apart, what are they? Well, let's bring it down to local. Let's bring it down to where we live daily. You may have anger between spouses. You may have mistrust between parents and their children. We may have festering grievances among work colleagues. You may have disappointments between friends, impatience with those of another generation, unkind words spoken between neighbors. All of these things, they separate us. And we have to remind ourselves that God created us for community and fellowship. It is the human condition to drift apart at the slightest provocation. And when we do that, we end up kind of like this Arctic ice bank where individual pieces kind of break off and they kind of drift off out into the cold, becoming alone and distant. I read an example where a preacher once asked the question, someone was asking him a loaded question, and he recognized that. And he said, "How large is the iceberg with which you are ignoring me?" It didn't give the response. I'd really like to know the response to that question. You see, and as I thought about that, drifting apart, cold, distant, removed, my mind went back to Genesis 11. Genesis 11 is a story of the Tower of Babel. And we know that the Tower of Babel is a story of distance and isolation. Because as the story unfolds, because of human pride, God dispersed the people and confused their understanding by creating all the different languages of the world. So in that regard, it was kind of the beginning of nations becoming icebergs, detached from the whole of human society, isolated by oceans of misunderstanding and distrust. But God undid that. In effect, he undid that. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost with fire, the fire, it says there were flames licking, at the top of, dancing around at the top of their heads. And I see that as fire melting those icebergs. Are you with me? So the icebergs were separating, people drifting apart. But with the fire, it warms those conditions. It heated up, it warmed up the conditions to where all the people of the nations could melt their misunderstandings. Suddenly, everyone could hear these disciples speaking in their language. And in that, God did, in this case, as God always does. He goes the distance for us. Consider for just a moment. God did not require all the people that were gathered there to hear in Aramaic or Greek, or they just got left out. No, he didn't do that. He used the apostles. He used the apostles to speak their languages, the language of the people they were trying to minister to He gave them the language to use to speak to those he gave them to reach. Are you with me? I think there is a model for ministry here that we cannot ignore. So many times we sit in our sanctuary and we say, well, you know, if they want to know about Jesus, they can come to us. And they can fit in with what we do, and that's how they come to know Jesus. I'm sorry, I've looked all the way through Scripture. I cannot find that model for ministry anywhere. What I find in Scripture is exactly what happened here, where God gives us the commission to go out. He gives us the power to go out. He lets us and allows us to hear and to speak the language of those he sends us to minister to. Does that make sense? And when we expect them to come to us and speak our language, not only are we being unscriptural, we have missed out on what God has for us to do. Go to them. Speak their language. Find someone to help you speak their language. Minister to them right where they are. Go to them. Isolation begins when we ignore the biblical principles of going in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the isolation that people were experiencing prior to Pentecost, the isolation that people experience now, was and will be overcome by heavenly initiative, by the sending of the Spirit. But it wasn't just lack of communication that God overcame that day. It wasn't just lack of communication. God created this ultimate sense of community and communion. Being together, standing with the 11. The dwellers of Jerusalem heard the good news of Jesus Christ. They heard it, they repented of their sins, they were baptized, and they were recreated in the unity of faith. The many became one. The diverse became united. They entered into close fellowship with one another, and we read a few verses later in Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47, that they shared everything in common. I mean, they were so knit together that they shared everything in common. They attended worship together. They served together. They ministered together. And as a result, God added to their number daily. They were faithful. And God did the addition. So if Babel turned the world upside down, Pentecost turned it back aright. God's Babel work was reversed at Pentecost. God's Pentecost work has begun, and it continues today. It continues among us. It continues among all believers who will claim the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. Because we've joined together, and we've joined ourselves to that first congregation at First Baptist Jerusalem, okay? And we are united in faith with them, and we share their missionary work. The same commission given them is our commission. What they began, we continue. But we do not do so unempowered. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same source of strength and power and vision. The Holy Spirit, that same fire that they had on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is moving among the outpost congregations of the world, if you will, the mission partners of First Baptist Jerusalem. And it's good that we celebrate. It's good that we be together today. It's good that we learn about Pentecost and celebrate. But here's a warning. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when the Spirit shows up, blowing among us, burning its way into our hearts. I pray that our prayer would be that the Holy Spirit would drive us out into the remnants of Babel and use us to draw people into communion with us and with the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we pray that we would understand what it means to be your children. Understand what it means to be heirs of an incredible tradition, heirs of an incredible promise, the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. God, forgive us when we try to do things on our own and therefore fail. allow us instead to hear your plan, to invite the Holy Spirit to be clear in our lives, to give us each step that you have for us, and to empower us for that step. God, help us to wait on you, not to get ahead of you, to trust your timing, to trust your power, and to trust your vision in each of our lives. And God, as you do so, help us to remember to give you the praise and the glory for the things that you have done through us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, one of two things is wrong. Either you're not a believer yet, or you are a believer, you just not claimed the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you are not a believer, I invite you this morning to come. We're going to be standing and singing in just a moment. I invite you to come. I'd be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are a believer and you're feeling defeated, I invite you to open your heart and say, God, give me your power, give me your spirit, and allow me to claim that in my own life. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this fellowship, it's a good fellowship of believers. We stand together as 12 or 20 or 30 or 300 or whatever. But we stand together, and I invite you to be a part of that. There's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Remain standing, please, for our benediction. Following the benediction in response, I invite you to greet one another. Enjoy that fellowship, the communion that we share. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we stand together as your children. We pray that as we go from this place, we would go united in our purpose, and that purpose to serve you faithfully, to reach out and touch those who need to know you. Father, bless our efforts to speak their language so that they can understand how much you love them and how much you've given for them. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.